Good morning. Let me grab this. There's quite a few more people here than when we started at 9. We look around at South sometimes at 9 and go, where is everyone? All right. For those of you who walked in and said this is a little bit different this morning, this is our youth rally weekend, and we had teenagers from all over Louisiana join us as we spent time in worship and study together and having some fun. We had an illusionist here last night, and he was pretty funny, and that was a good time. And so, anyway, there have been some good things happening, a lot of connecting, and we appreciate all you've done to help make that possible. And in our class time this morning, we wanted to continue in our worship. I have a short message this morning. We'll get done a little bit early. But there were a few things that I wanted to share and tie up from this weekend. There's a challenge every year to figure out how are we going to unify the ideas of an event like this. Like what kind of theme do we want? What kind of ideas do we want them to be processing? And Jake Hance and Will Collins and I would meet together throughout the fall, trying to figure out what is the best way to come about this. And Jake was part of that planning, and then Jake ended up moving to another work in Kentucky. But he was part of that first phase. And the conversation is often like, what is the biggest need that we feel right now? But before we got to that, we had this time where we were just talking about the world around us and what it meant to be a Christian in the world that we live in. And one of the burdens that we all shared was that it seemed too many Christians were content with a subpar level of following Jesus, right? Like there was, it wasn't that people don't want to go to church, or that they don't think that reading the Bible is good, like, or even that they have a lot of morality in their lives. It's just that following Jesus is not fused into all aspects of that. And we came to Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, you have the Holy Spirit on Pentecost coming on all the disciples, and they begin to speak in tongues of the world. And the Holy Spirit has equipped them to share the message of Jesus with the entire world. And Peter gets up and he begins speaking to the Jewish audience that was responsible for killing Jesus 40 days earlier. And they say, what do we do? All right, we are convicted. We see how these people are able to speak in these other tongues. We're convicted by Peter's message. What do we do now? And Peter says, repent. He says, turn away from your sin. You messed up. Do something different. Be baptized. Be immersed into Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And you too will receive this Holy Spirit that you've seen do these powerful things. And that day, about 3,000 people come to Jesus. And what's great about Acts is it doesn't stop there. Because the question then becomes, what happened to those 3,000 people? And in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, those people devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Like then it describes their community where they're always looking out for each other. Nobody had any needs because everyone was helping each other. They fully devoted themselves in every aspect of their lives to the gospel of Jesus. They didn't say, all right, we're going to devote ourselves to reading scripture, but we're going to ignore other Christians. We're not going to just devote ourselves to fellowship, because fellowship is fun and we like being connected to people, but we're going to ignore what the apostles are teaching. Or even that, hey, we're going to do a lot of community stuff and we love it, but we're not going to spend any time in prayer. Right? They do all of it and it encompasses all of their lives. They become fully devoted. This idea has challenged me in a recent week. Melissa and Aaron Klein in Gresham, Oregon, operated a bakery, and a lesbian couple came in and asked them to bake a cake for their wedding. Concerned that they were encouraging, and through the process of making this cake and giving it to them, that it would be condoning something that from a common interpretation of the New Testament would say is wrong. And so they chose not to do that. Now, we can debate if there might have been better ways for them to handle that or go about it. But the bottom line is that they made a stand on a biblical issue in their lives. The courts, when it went to court, ruled against them. They were ordered to pay a fine of $135,000. They lost their business. And the community around them basically refused to give them a place to rent. And they found it hard to receive services that they need just to live where they were at. And their lives were forever changed because they were devoted to a biblical principle. Now, once again, I want to repeat, there are a lot of ways that we can be true to Scripture and respond to these types of things. That's not what is at stake right now. What is at stake is when Christians choose to follow Jesus, the world is not always going to understand, and the world is not always going to like it. I thought the revival group had some really great skits this year. I think they did a great job and really dived into this idea of what does it mean to be devoted, and what are some ways that we look at being devoted in partial ways. And in one of the skits, Trey has two girlfriends, and one is named Sunday, and one is named Weekday. And this is clearly, fictional, because Trey would not live that long if he tried to have two girlfriends. They meet, in typical Christian drama skit fashion, and have this conversation where Sunday asks, "What's the deal? Who is she? You're saying she's your girlfriend also?" Yeah, she's my girlfriend, but she's only my girlfriend this part of the week. You are my girlfriend on Sunday." And she says, "Wait a minute. That is not okay, all right?" And he says, "Hold on. Aren't I devoted to you every Sunday? Like, don't I say sweet things to you? Don't I take you out? Don't I treat you like a queen and a princess?" And she's like, "Yeah, but it's only on Sunday." And he's like, "Well, when it gets easier, I'll probably give you more. I might even give you all a Wednesday." You know, he says, "I'm giving you what is in my heart in that little bit of time." And she says, "That's not enough." And I think the connection is pretty clear there, right? That the connection is to following Jesus in a set time where it works, where we can fit it into a particular box in our lives, and we put it there and we say, "I'm a good Christian. I go to church on Sundays. I make sure to get my kids to Bible class. I don't cheat on my taxes." Like, we pull it out and we say, "I've got this piece right here, and it's good," and then we put it back. But it doesn't influence what jobs that we take or the conversations that we have with our friends or the entertainment that we choose. It doesn't influence those things. And another important line I saw in there was near the end. When Sunday looks at Weekday and says, "Are you hearing this? Like, doesn't this bother you?" Weekday's response is, "Look, after he spends time with you, he's really nice to me," right? Like, people are great when we go to church and we're nice people and we're good neighbors and we pick up trash in our yard and, like, you know, we do good things for people around us. They are happy with that. It is great. And then she says, "But as long as he doesn't start talking to me about you," right? "As he doesn't impose these ideas about being a Christian on you, and as long as he doesn't start trying to make me like you, I'm fine." And the closing is, "In because I know if he only gives you one day a week, he's really devoted to me. And the world sees it that way, right? Like, as long as our ideas don't start claiming some type of truth that is true for everybody, they're fine. But we're entering in a time in the world where it's not going to be fine. We see a shift in our culture where following Jesus is not just like a nice idea that some people have. It is a harmful idea that needs to be eradicated. And I'm overstating just a little bit. But the tolerance and acceptance of Christians as just part of our beautiful community is passing. And here's my message, young people. You will have to have a devotion much greater than previous generations for you to carry this message into the next generation. You will have to. We have enjoyed a time of acceptance and tolerance of Christians and our beliefs. But it doesn't mean it has to stay that way. We see throughout history times when it has been very dangerous to truly follow Jesus. If you want to have half a devotion, if you want to believe half of the Bible or just the parts that you like or just the parts that make you feel good or just the parts that are easy, you'll be fine. Don't worry. But if you really want to be devoted to Jesus and struggle and work hard at what it means to fully follow him, it's going to be tough. And you are going to have to engage it at a level much stronger than previous generations so that you have someone to pass it on to. Are you with me? We cannot do this halfway. Now, that's a hard message, okay? But it is not a message that you are alone with. And this is where I think that Dustin, our speaker this week, did a great job, is that we dealt with what does it mean to be devoted? Like, what does it mean to have holy lives? What does it mean to be devoted to prayer and devoted to each other? Those were important things. But yesterday afternoon, he said, let's talk about the other side of this. What does it look like from God's perspective? And he brought us here to 2 Corinthians 5. And in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 and 19, Paul says this. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting their people's sins against them. Now, there's a little bit to unpack there. But the bottom line is this. God is doing the work to draw mankind to him. This is a devoted God. A God who is devoted to our people, to his people. Not halfway, not a little bit, not one day a week or 2 days a week or when it's comfortable or when we say nice things. He is fully devoted to us at all times. The God that calls you to a lifetime of devotion has given you an eternity of devotion already. And he is rooting for you to make it. And he has sent his spirit to guide you through the difficult questions, right? He has sent his word to help make it clear. He has been doing all this work so that you are prepared and equipped and encouraged and strengthened to live the full of devotion that he calls you to. But you will have to rise to the occasion. Are you with me? All right. Like I said, I was going to finish a little bit early today. Let's pray, and then we will be done with our Bible class time and prepare for our night time of worship. Again, God, we thank you for a great weekend. And as we wrestle with this challenging topic of being devoted, I know in my own heart, in my own life, I am convicted by that. Because there are areas that it is easy to be devoted to you. And there are areas that I
struggle to give you. Lord, we are a people who struggle to be fully devoted. God, I pray that your Spirit and your presence will remind each of us today that you are with us, you are empowering us, and you are rooting for us in every one of those areas to let it go and to fully give you all of it. God, we'll look around a lot of times and say our lives are pretty good, and we'll look to change something when maybe it's not so great. Lord, help us to not have a standard that matches the world's standard like that. It says if we feel good, it's okay. It says if everything seems to be working, that it's all right. Help our standard to always be what is best, what is most honorable to you. Help us seek you first and let everything else be a distant second.